Morning, a message called The Journey of Repentance. The Journey of Repentance. It's important for us to understand some things, and I look back at my own experiences as a young Christian. We all understand what repentance is. When someone is living in sin, they're going the wrong way, they're required to repent, turn to the Lord, be born again, and put their life together. But even while we're Christians, even while we're walking in the Christian faith, we have a misstep. We go off course, and we realize it, and we realize I have to repent, and I have to tell the Lord what I've done, and that I apologize, and ask him for help, that I move past this thing. But I know for me, as a young Christian, being in a very legalistic church, my idea of repentance was not altogether right, and I think most Christians probably fall into this category. Because I would have a misstep. I love the Lord. I was born again. I love the Lord. But I would go off and do something that I wasn't supposed to do, and I would repent with hot tears running down my face. Oh, God, I never want to do that again. And then do it again the exact same week. And I'd look at everyone else in the church, and they're all perfect. And it seemed like I was the only one struggling. And over and over, not one time or two times, over and over and over again, I went through this until I discouraged myself because I thought repentance replaced sanctification. Now let this sink into your mind. Repentance does not replace sanctification. It's just one step in sanctification. So that if you want to continue growing, if you have a misstep, you repent of that, you turn your heart back to God, but it doesn't mean you're a fully matured Christian. You still have to grow in that thing. And unfortunately, growth takes time, no matter how much you cry, no matter how deeply you repent, maturation simply takes time. So this morning, I want to talk about this journey of repentance. In the Greek, the word repentance means simply turning your mind and your life towards God. It has nothing to do with your maturity other than a step within sanctification. In other words, repenting does not replace sanctification. Let that sink into your mind, because if you misunderstand this, you can discourage yourself, but more importantly, you can discourage other people. Because we look at someone who's struggling and say, well, they need to repent. Well, they did repent. Well, obviously, they didn't really repent, or else they wouldn't still be doing that. Nothing could be further from the truth. And we find in Scripture, we find episodes in Scripture where this is played out. And if you've been walking with the Lord for any amount of time, you know, 20, 30, 40, 60 years, you realize you've repented 1,000 times concerning the same thing. Because it's constantly, you're turning your heart back towards God, but it doesn't make you be at the destination. You're just turning your heart back towards God. And so I want to share with you from the book of Luke this morning what repentance looks like. We remember the story of Zacchaeus, who was a chief of the publicans, meaning that he wasn't just a tax collector. He was a collector of tax collectors. He was high up. All tax collectors, in those days certainly, they were somewhat con men. They would overcharge people their taxes, and they were all rich. And that was the case of Zacchaeus. He would overcharge the taxpayers, bring in much more money, and the scripture says he was rich. But he saw Jesus, and he was a short man, so he climbed up into a tree to get a better look. And Jesus saw him and said, Zacchaeus, this day I'm going to dine at your house. And in the course of the conversation, this is what happens in Luke chapter 19, verse 8 and 9. Behold, Zacchaeus says to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Now, the thought here is that Zacchaeus, in the course of having dinner and observing Jesus and listening to Jesus' gracious words, he was convicted about the way that he had been living, and he, without saying the words, he repented and said, Lord, if I've taken anything from any man, I'll give him four times whatever I took. And half of what I have, without anyone, I'm going to just give that to the poor because he knew he had done wrong. I'm just going to give all of that to the poor. That was a turning of his heart towards the Lord. Now, when he did that, Jesus said, this day is salvation come to thy house. But Zacchaeus had not changed one action yet. He had not done anything. He had wrote no checks. He had not given anything to the poor. He just turned his heart. This is my intention. This is what I'm going to do. That's a picture of what repentance is. But if we think that we do that and suddenly we're at the end of the destination, that will cause you to simply discourage yourself, because that's not reality. Sanctification takes time. The only way that you can ever be 80 years old is you have to have actually been here 80 years. The only way you can be matured in Christ, you have had to actually walk through the years and the experiences for you to have that close relationship with Jesus Christ. And no matter how bad baby girl wants to be mama, she can put on mama's shoes and mama's house robe, but she is not mama. And the difference is the years and the experience to become mama. And so I give no one permission to sin. Sin is a horrible thing. And I'll say this, whatever your fault is, whatever your sin is, it is going to extract a penalty from you as long as you do it. Sin always extracts a penalty. But don't beat yourself up. Jesus knew you was a sinner when he saved you. He knew you was broken and undone. That's why he died on the cross. So to help you because you couldn't help yourself. To help me because I couldn't help myself. And we have to see the big scope of what is happening so we don't allow Satan to talk to our minds and we degrade ourselves. It caused me to backslide because I didn't understand this. I thought it was just me. And nobody would tell me it was them. Everybody else was acting like they was holy. Come to find out, they was all lying. From the pastor all the way back, everybody was lying. they were just not telling the truth. And it made me feel like, what's wrong with me? Why am I the only one struggling? Why am I the only, am I a moral midget? What's wrong with me? And it caused me to backslide simply because I didn't understand. I thought repentance means that you're done. It's over. It's behind you. It's gone. No, it doesn't mean that. It just means you've realigned your heart with God after a failure and you're back on the path of sanctification, but now you still need to grow. Ever how far you got to go to mature past that thing. We see this in the life of Peter. A beautiful picture of what sanctification is. And of course, you know Peter. He told the Lord, though all men forsake you. Yet, well, not I forsake you. He was saying, though these other 11 guys you've been walking around, me and you, they may all turn away. But Lord, me and you are like this. I will never forsake you. And Jesus, of course, understanding, being fully matured and understanding things, he said, Peter, before the cock crows, this night, not a week from now, this night, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, there's no possible way that could happen. I would never forsake you. But then we see Jesus get arrested and he begins to go through his passion. He's being beaten. He's being abused. And Peter sees the reality of that. And of course, most of us know the story. Peter denied him not once, not twice, but three times. He said, I don't even know the man. Now, a minute ago, earlier that day, he said, man, I love you so well, I die with you. Now he's saying, I don't even know who he is. And Peter's problem is that he had a fear of men. He had a fear of men. Many of us in here have that same thing. I call it man fear. It was a fault within his personality. Now, understand something about Peter. They refer to Peter as the big fisherman, meaning that he may have been big in stature. He's a fisherman. He'd pull that net in all by himself, where usually that would take multiple men to do that. And Peter's personality was such that he would cut your head off like that. Yes, yes, he would just move you right off the board and put away your pieces. You're done. When Malchus, the servant of the high priest, came to arrest Jesus, Peter immediately picked up an axe, didn't ask nobody, just tried to cut his head off right there. I'll stop this right now. That was Peter's personality. But at the same time, He had this thing inside of him where he was afraid of collections of men. When men would collect themselves and exude authority, he would shrink back from it. He would be afraid of it. And he sees them doing this to Jesus Christ, and it creates fear within him. And I think the two may have been associated, the man fear and the readiness to fight. You know, it's like if you're in the yard and you roll over a brick, there's a big hairy spider up under it. I mean, I don't know about you. I'm like, oh, man, that's a problem. It's got to die. I think that was Peter's feeling, is that when he became afraid, he was ready to fight. But it says here in Luke chapter 22, the third time that Peter denied the Lord, verse 61, it says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Now, if you read this whole story, it plays out like this. He denies him once. He denies him the second time. The third time he denies him, Peter hears the cock crow. And supernaturally, he looked over and he locked eyes with Jesus Christ. And there was a conviction that smote his heart because Jesus told him that the cock would crow thrice and he would deny him. He would deny him thrice. So the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now this little phrase, wept bitterly, it really means he had an emotional breakdown. He was beside himself. It was repentance for him. He was repenting. He did what he didn't want to do. It was grievous. And emotionally, it just drained him. It caused him to break down. He grieved over this thing. And of course, Jesus then was crucified. He was resurrected. And after his resurrection, he met with Peter. As a matter of fact, he told the women, go tell the disciples and Peter. He included Peter singularly to let him know he's still involved, that this thing that you did has been repented of. I'm not throwing you out. You're involved in this. Go tell the disciples and Peter. And then Jesus would sit down with Peter and ask him the question. Peter, do you love me? And Peter, with everything that happened rolling in his mind, he said, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus would ask him again, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, you know I love you. And the third time, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter just grieved, said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. And say, sometimes you can love God, but it doesn't make you mature. It doesn't mean that you've grown to the place that you can stop doing the thing you hate. Now, you need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit because the penalty is going to be extracted. But you keep moving forward. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know my heart. You know that I love you. And Jesus told him, then feed my sheep. Meaning that I'm not casting you out. I still have a job for you to do. Don't let your missteps hinder you from doing the work of the Lord. There are many people that sit on the bench, most of their salvation, simply because they cannot get over the fact that they're not perfect. Honey, you're not going to be perfect. You just get better. But the thing that the fall is so deep in our lives, we're not just a little mascara doesn't fix it. You know, just a little bit of blush and a little lipstick, it doesn't fix it. It goes down to the core, to the fabric of what we are. And it takes the Holy Spirit time to fix it. Not because it takes time for the Holy Spirit. You and I, we are the weak links. He created the whole world in 6 days. And how long has he been working on you and I? His 40 years right here. It's not impressive, but it's all I got to show for it. So he told the Lord, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. And notice what Jesus asked. Peter, do you love me? See, what is important is that you, not with just lip service, not just words, that you truly are in a love relationship with Jesus Christ. As long as you truly love him, not just trying to not go to hell, but you have fallen in love with him, you're going to be pliable so the Holy Spirit can work in your life to move you past that point of immaturity. But it does require that we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You know, every step is not going to be a good step. You're going to have, every day is not going to be a good day. You're going to have some bad days. Now, I need some of the saints that's been walking with the Lord 20, 30, 40 or more years. Give me an amen if what I'm saying is the truth. Every day is not a good day. You have bad days. But the thing is, in those bad days, you properly turn your heart back to the Lord and repent. Say, God, what I've done. Look at David. David committed adultery with Bathsheba and then murdered, cold-blooded murder, her husband, Uriah the Hittite. Now, my days haven't been that bad. That's a bad day. And it took him a long time, some 12 to 18 months before he turned his heart back to God. And it was only because Nathan the prophet came to his door and said, God knows what you did. And that's what caused him to write Psalms 51. And he began, or he didn't begin, but in that passage, one of the first two or three verses, it says, Lord, I acknowledge my transgression. That's what repentance is. I understand what I did or what I didn't do. That was wrong. That was wrong. I don't want to do that again. It doesn't mean you're not going to do it again. It just means you've realigned your heart with God. I don't want to do that again. One of the reasons that God allows sanctification to take so long, I believe, is because we have to be convinced how fallen we are. I had no idea. I thought the day I got saved, I thought it was just, you know, a couple Band-Aids, I'd be fine. Just a few little tweaks. But over the years, I've realized I'm altogether busted. I'm altogether broken. In me dwelleth no good thing. That without the Holy Spirit, I can do nothing. Without him constantly convicting me, leading me, guiding me, and me listening to him, I'm going to mess it up if I'm on my own, and so are you. That's just the reality of what it is. But when you repent, don't give up on yourself. It takes time to mature. It takes time. You know, coming up, I guess the biggest preacher in the world then was Jimmy Swaggart. And oh, that would have been wonderful. Be like Brother Swaggart. Well, Brother Swaggart was fighting just like the rest of us. He had to repent from time to time just like the rest of us. And so the process is sanctification, and repentance is just one step that you take in that process from time to time when you realize I've missed the mark. I haven't been all that I wanted to be. Have you ever spoken when you shouldn't have? Just a little warm, a little frustrated, and the words came out of your mouth and you had to go apologize. I have too many times. And I've had to apologize to my wife. It's one thing to have to apologize to an unknown stranger. But when you have to apologize to your wife, because I think fast and I speak fast, and things come out of my mouth the way that I thought them in my mind, and that's not altogether right. And I would hurt her feelings, and time again, I would have to go back to her with tears streaming down my face. Hey, I'm sorry I said that. I didn't mean to hurt you. But over the years, God has taught me to tame your tongue, calm your spirit, calm your mind, and just move through this as an adult with understanding. It doesn't have to be something ridiculous that comes out of your mouth. We go on in this story. Now, that was at the crucifixion. That was between the resurrection and the ascension, just right after the crucifixion, that Peter was reconciled back to God after his repentance. He went out and wept bitterly. But we find, and his problem was man fear. That was his whole issue. It was that brokenness in him that he had to get over, that fear of men. But we read in the book of Galatians chapter 2, Paul is relaying a story that he says, Galatians 2, verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them. fearing them. There it is again, man fear. Fearing them which were of the circumcision. So we see then in Peter's life, this was a recurring thing. This was something that he had to deal with over and over. Now, what isn't initially obvious is that this episode in Galatians is between 15 to 20 years after the resurrection. So for 15 to 20 years, Peter has been having to deal with this man fear, trying to minister, afraid of men. He's had to deal with this over and over. And even in Galatians, 15 to 20 years later, Paul had to rebuke him publicly, saying, your fear of men is causing you to misdirect the Gentiles. So don't think that because you had a mistake for a month, it should be over by now. Maybe it is. Sometimes, praise God. But sometimes we have to get a good look at ourselves. Isn't that horrible when you have to see how broken you are? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When you have to look at yourself and you have to go, oh, God, praise the Lord for the cross. Because it's motivation to crucify yourself. I'll tell you, the Lincoln that I used to be, I don't like that guy. I don't like the way he thinks. I don't like anything he did, the way he talks. I don't like him. And I want to move forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling. I want to be like Jesus because I don't want to go back to who I was. But the point that I wish to make is that don't think that because you've repented of something that suddenly that's off the table, that's no longer an issue. No, you still have to mature past that thing. It may take a week or a month or it may take 15 to 20 years. It takes what it takes. The all you and I can do is cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Cooperate. When he convicts you of something with all of your strength, you turn away right there because his strength, he don't just convict you and say you're wrong. His strength comes with conviction. When he starts working in an area of your life, that means I'm working here. I need you to work with me. You know, when I was a young a boy at home, my dad was a working man. And the one thing he taught us, all me and all of my brothers, is when you see a man working, you don't stand around with your hands in your pocket. You work with him. And when the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, don't stand around with your hands in your pocket. Work with him. Cooperate with him and move yourself through that point of immaturity. So we look finally then at the last words that Peter spoke to us through the canon of Scripture. It's his last epistle, and it's the last verse in the epistle. Here's what Peter learned, and he shared it with us, if we can grasp it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow. If you remember, growth is a process. Nobody just grows from zero to fully mature. You got to go through all of the stages of life. And I look in the natural and I look back, when I was in my 20s, and it's embarrassing. Look back when I was in my late teens, even in my early 30s. It's embarrassing to me now how immature I was. How right I thought I was, but how absolutely immature I was with that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I know I'm not the only one. Y'all looking at me like you're the only one. I'm not. And it's an embarrassment to me, the things that I would do or say or think or how I would conduct myself. Please don't let me be as immature now as I saw myself back then. I want to grow up in Christ. I want him to have his way. The most important thing in my life now is not this job, not my house, not even my family. I want Christ. I want Christ. I don't want to go through eternity the way that I am now. You know, it's a funny thing. Men are looking for the fountain of youth. They're doing chemicals now and peptides to try to live forever. I don't want to live like this forever. I want a new body. I want a new mind. I want to be perfected in Christ. So you might ask the question, though, if this is true what you're saying, then why should I repent? What value is repenting at all if it doesn't make the problem go away? Again, because it's realigning your heart with the heart of God, saying, Lord, I recognize what I just did or didn't do. That was wrong. And I'm realigning myself with you. I want to do right. I'm weak. And that's what it comes down to. I'm weak. Born in sin, shaping in iniquity. I am unable to do this by myself. Jesus needs us collectively to understand that without me, you can't do nothing. Now, there wasn't just a statement. He said, nothing is a compound word. No thing. Without me, you can't do no thing. And sometimes we have to be convinced of that. You know, because we're smart. And we have logic. And we have a will. And Paul brought it out beautifully in this passage that I'm going to read in Romans chapter 7. I've never met a Christian that knew this passage that did not understand it to some degree. Paul says in verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, as Ike brought out in the earlier service, you know, Paul was a big brain person. And he would say things very densely. And so sometimes we have to unpack. What does he mean by that? We have to unpack it to see all of the content that's there. But he says, for that which I do, I allow not. That word allow actually means understand. Now, this is Paul's personal testimony. We think of the great apostle Paul. Surely he didn't go through this. He did. He did. You know why? He's a human being just like you and I. But he cooperated with the Holy Spirit. You and I don't always do that. But the word allow means understand. So he's saying, for that which I do, this sinful activity that I do, that I did, I don't understand why I did that. Does anybody relate to that? I don't understand, because what I would, that word would is a derivative of the word will. It refers to his personal will. What I do, that was not my will to do that. I didn't want to do that. How many ever feel like you were compelled to do a sin? You were pushed. And we say the devil made me do it. It can feel like that. But what it is, it's the indwelling sin nature that has not yet been conquered. You have not taken full possession of this body that you've been given. And sometimes we allow our bodies to lead us and not our sanctified minds. For that which I do, I understand not. Because what it is my will to do, I don't do. Now let me bring that home. How many know you're supposed to read your Bible? That which is my will to do, I do not. How many know you're supposed to pray? You're supposed to have a good prayer life with God. That which I will to do, I want to do, I find myself not doing that. But what I hate, that's a strong word. What I hate, that do I. This lets us know that Paul was just like every other person in sanctification, he was doing things that he personally hated. I wish I never did that. I don't want to do that anymore. My will is not to do that, but I find myself doing what I don't want to do. He goes on to say, if then I do that which I would not, here it is, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, here's what that means. You can use this. This is free. That's why I'm preaching it. I want you to use this. When you find yourself in a situation, you failed God, you've done or not done something that was outside of God's moral code, and you failed. In your repentance, you take this position, God, I consent to the law. Your law said thou shalt not, and I have done what you said not to do. I am in agreement with your law. That I did was wrong. I agree with you. That means you can't make excuses. And see, the first thing, if you're in carnality, you will make an excuse. Well, I wouldn't have slapped them had they not said that. Huh? I wouldn't have went all the way off on them if they had not treated me that way. I would have prayed if I wasn't so sleepy. Yeah. I would have studied if it wasn't so late. But so when that thing you did or don't do, you say, God, I consent with your law. I am in agreement with your law. My heart is aligned with your heart. I don't know why I'm cutting up like this, but I love you and I want to do right. And God understands you. He knows where you're at. He has matured a million Christians before you. The thing is, don't misunderstand what your repentance does. It just realigns your heart with God. You say, Lord, I love you and I want to live for you and I want to walk with you. And in my deepness of my soul, I want to be pleasing to you. I want to please you. And when you fail him, yes, it breaks your heart. But that's how you start moving away from it. The thing that you once loved, you begin to hate that thing. And you begin to realize what a danger that thing is to you. Even though the rest of society may be doing it, what a danger that is. You know, coming up, I smoked marijuana. That was my thing coming up. Of course, weed was just weed then. It wasn't like this stuff they got now. But even though society's saying, you know what, we think we're going to legalize it. We think it's okay. No. I'm saying, I don't care if you legalize it or not. I see that as such a danger to my relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know why. We're not that smart to start with. Why would you dull your senses even more? I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, I'll leave you with this one last thought. Jesus says in Luke 17, verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, you go ahead and rebuke him. But if he repent, then you forgive him. Understanding that his repentance does not mature him past the point of offending you. And if he trespass against you seven times in one day, meaning it's a recurring thing, you forgive him seven times in one day, saying, thou shalt forgive him. The point is that if you have someone in your life that they're struggling, every human being is struggling in this area. And if they came to you and said, hey, I'm sorry, I did that thing. Hey, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. They repent. And then the next week they do the same thing over. Understand they're just like you are. They're not a misfit or a moral midget. They're struggling in their walk the same way you're struggling in your walk. And we learn to forgive other people the way that we are forgiven. Jesus said, if you forgive not your brother, neither will you be forgiven. So when you repent, and you should repent, when you repent, realize that didn't replace sanctification. You still gotta walk through all the levels of maturation to get there. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room this morning? Father, I've done my best to share what you've put upon my heart. And God, I ask you that you would touch every person here in the sound of my voice to not go through the same process I went through as a young Christian, thinking that if I repent, everything would be well, all would be not only forgiven, but the problem would be erased. Lord, help our people today to realize that repentance is simply one step in sanctification, a step that will take, no doubt, over and over and over again, sometimes for the very exact same thing. God, help us to understand your grace. Come on, all over the room. If you're able this morning, would you stand to your feet all over the room if you're able? Your failures are between you and God. You don't have to confess that to anybody else. But right now, why don't you bring that thing to the top of your heart? And right now, why don't you just privately repent within your own heart? Lord, this area of my life that I'm so weak in, this area, Lord, I've repented 100 times over this thing. I bring it to you again, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, not only that you would forgive me for my sin, but that you would wash me from the underlying unrighteousness, that you would create within me a clean heart, renew within me a right spirit, Teach me, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart might be acceptable in your sight. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. Just reach out to Jesus.
We thank you. We thank you, God, so you are so faithful and you are just. Even in our wretchedness, God, you cleanse us with the blood of Jesus Christ. God, we accept your forgiveness, God. We accept your forgiveness for every misstep, every stumbling block, everything that we have failed, God. We know you forgive us. We know that you have redeemed us by the blood of Jesus Christ. So as we are forgiven by you, we forgive those who hurt us. And we forgive ourselves, God. We let go of the shame, the condemnation. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We let it go today. And we walk anew. We walk refreshed. We walk encouraged that we know this process of sanctification is something you put us in. And we will trust it. And we will love and take joy in knowing that you are forever in this lifetime creating a new creature within us. And we just praise your holy name for it. In Jesus' most holy, precious name. Amen. Amen. We'd like to thank Pastor Lincoln for that wonderful word today because it blessed us. Yes. Yes. And we just have a few quick announcements. If you haven't already given, we need your support as always because the word is going forth. And Ignite Prayer will be Friday, December 5th. From 10 p.m. to 12 p.m., please come out and seek God with us for the new year and just be encouraged to pray. If you can only come for 15 minutes, come for 15 minutes. Set your alarm and just join us. And we thank you for coming out. Thank you for joining us online and just being here and fellowshipping with us. You may not be here in with your presence, but we thank you for your prayers and joining us. And with that being said, y'all have a blessed day. You are dismissed. God bless you.